Blog Talk Radio.
Of the PPJ Gazette Online, and this is the TS Radio Network. Our show today is Whistleblowers, and yes, I know this is the wrong time, but we have a very special guest who was only available during this time, so we will do what we can to accommodate. As always, all of the shows are available 24/7 in archive. You can listen whenever you're able to. We welcome callers. The phone number is 917-388-4520. That's 917-388-4520. Press the number one immediately if you have a question or comment for Matt, but I think today you're going to want to just listen, as this man has a few things to say. As always, these shows are brought to you in coordination with Marcel Reed and the Whistleblower Summit taking place this year, July 29th, 30th, and 31st in Washington, D.C., and we thank them for their support. And with that, I'd like to introduce to all of you Matt Savoy. And he is an honorably discharged veteran of the United States Marine Corps and former intelligence operator directly tasked by the NSA. He says his prior experience gives him unique insight into the world of government corruption and the American police state. Savoy has been an independent journalist for over a decade and has been featured on mainstream networks around the world. He's also the editor-at-large at the Free Thought Project, which is one of my favorite sites to go to for information. And we have three of the articles from the Free Thought Project listed right here in the promo direct link. You can go right over and read them. And of particular interest today is going to be the Atlantic Council and NewsGuard. But before we get to all of that, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hi, Marty. Thank you very much for having me on.
Oh, I thank you. Matt, you also have a podcast, don't you?
We do. We have a weekly podcast. It's on iTunes, Spotify, your favorite podcast player. We're everywhere.
Yeah, good, good. And you cover all of these things, I'm sure, that you write about and talk about. And
we do.
Matt,
yes,
go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying, yes, we do. We cover much more in-depth on the podcast like than a 1,000-word article. We'll delve into subjects for over an hour sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's sometimes you need that in-depth talk for people to understand what actually is happening. I think you, like me and many other people out here, are just absolutely – well, I know I'm frightened and cautious of the change in our government, especially since 9/11, and it seems to be becoming increasingly worse. The militarization of the police, for one thing, scares me. TSA in the airports, honest to God, I swear when they get done with me, Matt, I should be expecting a baby in 9 months. If a man stepped up to me on the street and did to me what TSA agents do to me, one of us
would go to jail.
Be leaving in a body bag. Yes. But I'm supposed to stand there and be publicly humiliated, groped, grabbed, molested because of what? I don't know. But I don't know what you think, but in my opinion, this is submission and compliance training. And because they will beat you savagely if you don't cooperate. That'll be just the start of what they'll do to you. Matt, my essay of interest today is this Atlantic Council and NewsGuard. So can you tell us what this news guard is actually and who it is and what their purpose is.
Yeah, I guess I'll give everybody a little background in case they're unaware of the Free Thought Project or may not know how the Atlantic Council is related to Facebook and everything. And so in October of last year, on the 11th, Facebook moved to delete over 800 different pages, and they unpublished them all, citing inauthentic coordinated behavior. Basically, we were sharing our links on other pages, which is what you're supposed to do to get this information out, and they considered that. They said that they considered this against their terms, and so they deleted all of our pages. And we were also removed from Twitter as well that same day, and we got a strike on YouTube. So this is not just Facebook saying we violated their terms, right? Twitter came in at the exact same time and made the same move that Facebook did. Twitter gave us no reason, and our Twitter following was small and not much to speak of. We rarely posted on there, but yet they still moved to delete it. So we're like, why are they attacking us on all these different fronts? You know, if we just violated Facebook's policies, which we didn't, then we should have just been deleted on there. So if you go and you do some digging, you can see that both Facebook and Twitter both formed a partnership with the Atlantic Council, or an arm of the Atlantic Council known as the Digital Forensic Research Lab. May of last year, Facebook announced that they partnered with the Digital Forensic Research Lab, which is just a subsidiary of the Atlantic Council. And they did this to go after real-time insights and emerging threats and disinformation campaigns from around the world. And for those who don't know, the Atlantic Council is like the main impetus behind all this Russian hysteria, that the Russians are coming and that the Russians are infiltrating the government and everybody. So they're the ones that they're the ones that have to keep this Russian propaganda alive, and they do so because they are they're basically the whitewashing arm for NATO, and NATO needs war so they can make their they can justify their presence.
Yeah.
And that's who actually funds the Atlantic Council is their weapons manufacturers like Raytheon, Lockheed Martin, Boeing. They're also funded by billionaire oligarchs like Ukraine's Viktor Pinchuk and Saudi billionaires and the United Arab Emirates. They're directly funded by the pharmaceutical industry, Google, and actually the United States government, the U.S. Army, and the Air Force. So when people say that, hey, you were banned on Facebook, Facebook has a right to delete whoever they want, yes, for technically that on the surface that might look correct, but this is not the case, right? So the Atlantic Council is not private. They take direct money from the U.S. government, and so when they're making decisions, that's the U.S. government. You know, they're acting in behalf of the U.S. government with the U.S. government's money, and they're moving to silence people like us. And because we break through this Russian hacking narrative and all this hysteria over Russia, and we're anti-war, so we're a direct threat to their NATO allies that continue to spread wars across the world. And it's pretty scary,
Matt,
that they're able to do this. Oh, no, go ahead.
Well,
I'm sorry.
One of the first, I had no clue. Of course, I am anti-war also myself. I see no purpose in it, but no good comes of it. I don't care who wins or loses. No good comes of it. And I hear people in this Russian hysteria you're talking about. I don't know how people are so easily sucked in. You can spot, if you read so much of this stuff, you can spot these contrived scenarios and the scare tactics. I mean, it's just like they jump out at you. Like, here we go again. And when I tell people, they say, we ought to go over there and just bomb the shit out of them. Well, yeah, that's real great. But who is it's going to go over there? Do you think the people that are up there in D.C. that are going to profit from this are going to send their kids or their grandchildren?
No, they send the poor people. They send the poor people and the patriots is what they do.
Yes, they do. And I said, that's going to be your children, your grandchildren, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father. That's who's going to go. They're going to go home with their children and go to bed and sleep very soundly and safely. So while you're screaming for war, remember, you're the cannon fodder. What's the matter with you? And what do we get out of these wars? Nothing. I mean, other than some corporation gets to run in and steal that country's assets, I don't see any purpose to it, but we kill millions of people doing this, and I have a problem with that. I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want it done in my name. And the other thing is, they don't give a damn what we think out here. And you are right. The military, as it exists today and has for many decades now, is basically a poverty draft. Many people see it as the only way out of poverty, to have any kind of job or any kind of life. And they honestly believe that they are fighting for our freedom while we steadily lose it. And talking with many veterans that have come home from these wars, what they talk about is the feeling of being betrayed, that they thought they were there fighting for us, only to realize they were fighting for some corporation's intent to steal the assets. That bothered me. Then I had stumbled across something. I'm no fan of Hillary Clinton whatsoever. And in 2000, I think it was May of 2013, she was at the Military Contractors Conference, and she made the statement that the United States was involved in 94 armed conflicts that the American people knew nothing about. And that just rocked me. And again, going back to the veterans, I find they've been sent all over, mostly to Africa now. And we have, I don't know how many armed conflicts going on there while we try to get rid of those people. And I don't understand all this. Somebody's not doing any linear thinking, you know, into the future. If you kill everybody off, who are you going to sell your crap to? You know, I mean, this doesn't make sense to me.
And at the same time, it creates massive cells of U.S. enemies that they don't hate our freedom. They hate that we just turn their child to a thin cloud of red dust with a, you know, a hellfire missile fired from a drone that circles their towns all day and all night. And, that sadly, people don't understand that. They don't understand that U.S. foreign policy is a detriment to actual freedom and American safety. It creates like since 9/11, we've created a million Osama bin Ladens. You know, there's people that they don't come after America because we disagree with their values. They come after America because we constantly wage wars of aggression in their countries and near their countries to further the U.S. interest in the military industrial complex. I was actually part of that.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to realize that what I was doing wasn't in the interest of freedom. It was in the interest of all these. It was in the interest of special interests, I should say. Marine Corps general actually helped to wake me up to that. Smedley Butler. He's one of the only people to ever win two Medal of Honors. And but he came out after World War II, I believe, and actually went on a tour. That was called the War is Racket Tour, and he explained to everybody how he was just basically a strong arm for corporations. And it was we learned about Smedley Butler in the Marine Corps, but they never told us those quotes. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But so anybody who talks about this and talk like what you just said, or anybody that's, you know, that comes out with an anti-war stance, they're automatically an enemy to the establishment, because the establishment is war. Government needs war to maintain its power and its domination over the globe, and to keep the stock markets up and keep Raytheon's bottom line from, you know, their stock looking good. And these people are more than willing to kill innocent children to further their interests. So it's a tiny feeble task just to silence people like us. So it's not, you know, these people are willing to kill children. So like, it's not surprising that they would easily come and censor us on all these different platforms.
You remember when George Bush, I call him Doofus, Jr. stood up and said, why were we going to war with Iraq? And he said, these people hate us. They hate us for our freedoms. And I remember my immediate thought was, no, you hate us for our freedoms. And you're the one that made an enemy of these people. We didn't. And, you know, but the ramping up and the screaming and hysteria in the public really bothered me. I remember when they were televising, I was so proud, the bombing of Baghdad. And where I was working, they had a big screen TV up there, and you could see them. We were told this was nothing but a ghetto, and people were living in caves. And so they're poor people, and you're going to bomb them. Is that right? But as these bombs lit it up, you see these ancient, beautiful buildings just going up, you know, being obliterated. And people are cheering, and I started crying. And I said, don't you understand? There's men, women, and children at the other end of that. Did absolutely nothing to you. Nothing. Do you understand what happened there? I said, they did what? Nothing. And you're sitting here cheering. I said, and you're going to run down here to church too, aren't you? And talk to God and confess and do this and that, something else. There's all good Christians. Well, they're Muslims. And I said, what's your point? And but I did it just, I thought, how can we do this? How can we do this? And here these people are cheering and clapping. And I thought, my God, we've lost our minds. And you hear this again, going back to you bringing up Russia, all of this claptrap of trying to, you know, drag Russia and, oh, they're your enemy. And they're not doing anything but sitting there and watching us go crazy. And, you know, Putin, I have to give him credit. Must have nerves of steel, because that man, he's got to be getting a big laugh out of this. We're just being made fools of with all this fake Russia investigation, and they rigged our elections. We have been interfering in the elections of other countries for decades. Here about 10 years ago, we rewired and did all of the renovation on the UN building, and it came out that everybody's office was wired so that they could eavesdrop on them. We have deposed one leader after another in the other countries on the most ridiculous of claims, and put someone in there that would cooperate with us. And when we got tired of them, we threw them out, killed them, and got some. And that was, Matt, I don't know about you, Libya, particularly Gaddafi. I don't know what he was in his country. I never was there. But
well,
they paint this man out
sure
as a brute.
They painted him as a brute. There's one thing for certain. I'm so sorry, Marty.
Yeah.
You go ahead.
That's all. You go ahead and speak, Matt.
Okay, I was just going to say that that one thing is for certain is that Libya is not better off now after they were given some of America's freedom. You know, if they were a bastion of hope in Africa, they had people. You know, they think something like 40% of the citizens of Libya were actually going to higher education and like getting college degrees.
Yep.
They had wonderful infrastructure. I mean, Gaddafi was not an angel, and he was definitely a tyrant. But compared to what they are now, it's night and day. It's a hell state now. There's people are being openly sold. Human beings are being openly sold in the streets, and it's a haven for terrorists, and different terrorist groups are fighting, and they're murdering and pillaging and raping. It's insanity over there, and the U.S. is responsible. And that's currently what they're trying to do in Venezuela too. It's a mess. They're saying, you know, I mean, Maduro's a terrible person too, but the U.S. is stoking civil war in there so they could put their puppet in that's going to be friendly for their special interests and help get that.
Yes.
That free Venezuelans of their 300 million barrels of oil that are in the ground over there and all their gold and natural resources. So.
Well, somebody had asked me why I wouldn't support attacking Iran. I said, because Iran hasn't done anything. Well, they're building nuclear weapons. I said, what's your point? We got nuclear weapons. Well, but they signed the Non-Proliferation Treaty. I said, what's your point? I said, we've got nuclear weapons. We're the only country that ever used them. And I said, they've got a big nuclear reactor there by Tehran. And I said, go back and check your history. That big nuclear reactor you're talking about was co-funded by George Bush Sr. They got billions of dollars invested over there. And I said, problem. The reason they want you to be afraid of Iran, and we have to, oh, it's just terrible, and we have to go over there and do something. And today somebody actually looked out their window. We're all in trouble. And I said, because I said in one of their flyovers where they're doing geothermal imaging here, I said about 12 years ago, two big oil fields came close enough to the surface that they could be detected. They were biggest at the time known in the world. And I don't believe oil is a fossil fuel. I think it is a abiotic reaction inside the earth that creates this stuff. And they wait for it. That's why they keep doing that imaging, to come close enough to the surface to make it profitable to drill it. And these two massive oil fields showed up. And as soon as they did, all of a sudden, Iran was our enemy. Oh, we had to do something. It was terrible. I want to go back to Libya for a minute. Another moment of shame for me in our history was when we ran, not only ran Gaddafi down, killed both of his sons, but what was done to that man in front of the cameras. They ran a broomstick up his backside. They beat him, drug him half naked in front of the, and I'm supposed to be proud of this. We're supposed to be the people representing freedom. You know, we're supposed to be the good guys, and we did this. We did this. I just don't. Shame doesn't even begin to describe how that made me feel.
But those were freedom fighters, Marty. They're freedom fighters, so it's okay.
Oh.
You know, they were fighting for freedom over there while they were sodomizing a man and glorifying his murder on television. Yeah.
I don't know what's happened to us as a country. I really don't. And this thing about democracy, Matt, democracy is mob rule. And the mob is sitting out in D.C. and they're running everything. And out here, as people are slowly coming to realize, you have no say about anything. Everything is about the stakeholders. Well, who are these precious stakeholders? Well, you know, the people that, you know, they have an interest in, you mean a profit interest in. And if they have to spend your life to make that profit, they will. And I don't know when enough is enough. How many wars, how many freaking wars does it take for you to realize they aren't interested in you being free or anything about you other than using you to wage these wars? And Matt, what is the ultimate goal? I don't see what is the... I understand the money-making part of it. I understand the profiting from it. But there has to be something beyond this. And I don't know what it is.
Well, as Murray Rothbard said, war is the health of the state. And it's no coincidence that for most of the United States' existence, we've been at war. And that's...
Yes.
This is what keeps the machine spinning. Is it keeps the people in line, it keeps them paying taxes, it keeps them in fear, and it makes the government appear as heroes every time they win one of these wars or whatever. And so I think that is with the internet age, I think that narrative is slowly starting to deteriorate. And they have people like me that are reaching, you know, myself and our team, my co-founder Jason Bassler of the Free Thought Project, we were reaching millions and millions of people with this message and exposing these liars and warmongers and murderers and war criminals. And so that's why they had to build this Praetorian Guard to silence people like us, because we're a thorn in the side to maintain this global hegemony and warfare machine.
You noted in your article, I just posted it on the PPJ about the ominous new fact check and the attacks on independent media, and you're talking in there about them giving a pass to publications like the Washington Post and the New York Times and all of that, Fox News, all of them, and what I can't understand, Matt, is I talk to people all the time. I know you probably find that hard to believe. But I talk to people everywhere I go. And nobody, I can find not one person who believes one thing they see on the news. And most people say, I don't watch that crap. It's all a bunch of lies. They've got 80% of the or 20% of the audience they had 10 years ago. And it's still, the numbers are still going down. And my question is, what happens in your mind that when you go to work, you know you're lying, the public knows you're lying, and you still show up for work the next day? I don't get it, you know. You've been caught numerous times, and yet there you are. I don't get that. Are you aware of Operation Mockingbird?
Yes. There's a lot of controversy surrounding Operation Mockingbird, how but the CIA influence over the media and the FBI influence over the media, this has all been declassified, and it's there's no relationship between the mainstream media and the U.S. government. As I don't believe there's a line there anymore. I think it's all part of the same.
I don't either.
The same beast or establishment, as they have to keep the narrative alive. That's what they do. Mm-hmm. They're the parrots that go out there and keep all the everybody thinking the same things and believing the same lies, and so they can the government can maintain their control over everybody else. But yeah, this is, I mean, it's all this is declassified, that the government's been waging an information war against its people. They legalized propagandizing our own citizens. This is in 2000 and recently, within the last decade, they in one of the NDAA acts, they legalized propagandizing U.S. citizens. And
yes,
they've been doing it to other countries for years, but now they can actually do it to us, which is just crazy. And
wasn't
it's literally an information war.
Yeah. National Defense Authorization they could now begin propagandizing to change public opinion or form it. And I want to, in relation to all of this, Matt, something comes to mind for me here this last year, and I was speaking with some friends out there in D.C. about this, watching this happen. You saw these talking heads like Bill O'Reilly, who just absolutely made me want to vomit, suddenly accused of sexual harassment, and he leaves. No fight, no nothing. Yes, well, I'm leaving. Al Franken here in Minnesota, who was a good senator. I mean, he was, as senators go. Supposedly in a picture that was obviously meant to be,
funny.
Gets run out of office, he leaves. You saw people, this is when they started the purging out there in Hollywood, these big stars, and I don't pay any attention to those people anyway because there isn't anything real about them. But I'm watching this and just going down like dominoes. And these were big names, and I said, something's happening here. I said, this isn't so much a purge as it is these people are getting out of the way because something's coming and they don't want it to come down on them. And I still believe that. Megyn Kelly, she looked like, to me, she always dressed like she was getting ready for a porno shot. And up there and didn't have a clue about anything. And I remember the night of the election, watching Fox News, because I knew if nothing else, there'd be entertainment there. And just watching the election results, when Trump took, they knew that there was no way Clinton could catch him. And they're all in shock. And she looks right into the camera. She looks like a deer caught in headlights. And she throws this stack of papers down, which obviously were her script. And she goes, now what are we supposed to do? And I thought, whoa, this didn't go the way you thought it was supposed to. And this kind of thing, and you saw Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, where they took and overlaid several of these mainstream cable news broadcasts, went over the top of each other. They're reading the same script, pausing at the same point, laughing a little bit, picking back up, reading a little bit more. It was almost verbatim. And it freaked people out. And, of course, not long after that, he didn't have a show anymore. But when this happened, O'Reilly goes down, Franken goes down, one after another of these big kingpins are knocked down, and I'm thinking this was too easy. Nobody's fighting back. Nobody's arguing, throwing a fit. Nobody's saying, wait a minute, this didn't happen. They're just walking away. And my sense of all of that was this was all contrived because these people did not want to be a part of whatever was coming. What do you think about that?
I don't know exactly all their situations, but there's definitely something coming. Started with the election, like you said, in 2016. And when the fake news hysteria began rolling out, that's when we saw, we started reporting on that back then and saying how this was all going to be used to silence free speech and to make people, to propagandize people. And that's exactly what's happening. It's not just our voice, they effectively took away information from tens of millions of people that wanted this, this information. And they're doing it all in the name of saving people from fake news. And, and we were directly attacked by the AP and by Snopes and, by, PolitiFact. These people labeled us as fake news on various different occasions, and we sent cease and desist letters to them, and they were forced to issue retractions. And except Snopes has a personal vendetta against us. Those people are they're not the best people over there, Snopes. So
Snopes got out of years ago.
Got
out of years ago for, they aren't a fact site at all. They are just a propaganda arm. And what they did was they labeled things fake news or presented fake news of their own, fake facts. And they got out of, I don't know anybody that uses Snopes for anything except maybe an occasional laugh. And that is not a resource. Don't go there. And I see people keep trying to revive them. You can't. It's known far and wide that these people are part of the problem. And and I've looked at some of their stuff over there, and if you go to legislation where they're talking about legislation, and you go to the legislation, and I've sent them stuff, years past, sent them stuff, said, here it is in the legislation. Why are you saying it isn't true? And I don't get a response, Of course, I'm not anybody important, so there you go. And, the idea that these people coordinate and cooperate with each other to do this, that in and of itself should let you know there's a plan at work there, because you can't come up with virtually the same opinion, almost word for word, and tell me somebody didn't hand it to you, somebody didn't give you your opinion, and this is what I want you to say. I just don't get it. But if you could talk a little bit about this NewsGuard, exactly how they're going to work and how this is going to work against us.
So last year they contacted us, NewsGuard, representatives from NewsGuard contacted us, and it actually sounded like an exciting venture that they were going to do. They were going to, because they weren't using some algorithm, they're actually calling different news outlets. So they contacted like the 2,000 largest news outlets in the world, and that's what they started with. And we were in there, and so they asked us a bunch of questions. Oh, thanks. We were at one time in the top 500, but thanks to Facebook algorithms and censorship, they that no longer. But they contacted us, and they wanted to ask us a bunch of questions about the website, and we were completely honest. I do interviews all the time, especially even I know they're even going to be hit pieces. We have nothing to hide. We're not those people that actually puts out fake news or anything like that. So I love talking to people about it. Especially if they disagree with what we have to say. So, cause we're based in logic and peace and freedom. So it's not very hard to defend those, to defend those tactics.
Yes.
Anyway, so they asked us a bunch of questions, and they said that they were going to be a third-party site, like where you can just go to their website and type in a web address, and it'll go and tell you like everything, like all the questions that the owners of the reporters at that website, that news site had answered, and it gives you a rating. And so that sounded cool to me. I was like, yeah, that's cool. You know, it's like, it's not Snopes, and you guys are actually contacting people and asking questions. And so, so that sounded great. But now fast forward to 2 months ago, and this same group, NewsGuard, they are now public with who their owners are and backers are. And we're talking about former, like, neocon insiders from the Bush administration and government insiders, like retired generals. This is NewsGuard is a neoconservative think tank, and they're not a think tank, I'm sorry, as a fact checker, quote unquote, that is going to make themselves mandatory. So if anybody uses Internet Explorer, it's already coming. The Internet Explorer already now ships with NewsGuard installed, and what it does is it gives you like a big red warning sign that the information you're about to view is not trustworthy. And I mean, to people like us, you know, that we question everything, that's not going to be that big of a deal. But to the average internet surfer, they're going to see that, they're going to freak out, and they're not going to look at that information anymore. They're going to totally think it's discredited and not believe any of it. And like you were saying with Fox News and CNN and all these other places that have been caught repeatedly putting out fake information. And Fox News got caught. One of the people that there was their CIA expert inside, CIA insider expert, he was actually arrested last year and thrown in jail because he was impersonating a CIA officer. And Fox News knew that. And then they had this other guy that was, these people – are like, they're not only putting out like lies and information or disinformation, but I mean, they started wars that led to the deaths of millions of people. You know, the Washington Post, New York Times, these people ran stories that started Vietnam. You know, they ran with the Gulf of Tonkin false flag narrative that kicked off Vietnam and killed over a million people. And and they're all these people that have done all these things that like start, and the weapons of mass destruction false narrative that the New York Times pushed on, you know, at the behest of the Bush administration. These people all push these narratives, all leading to millions of people being killed and wars all over the world. And they all have green check marks. And if you go to NewsGuard, and if you go to WikiLeaks, which has never had to issue a single retraction, never gotten anything wrong, they have big red X's on it. If you go to Free Thought Project, we have big red X's on ours. I mean, we have a bunch of green check marks too, they're, you know, the majority. So, and we've never had to retract. I mean, we've had to issue corrections and stuff like that. But, you know, this is just because information changes. But, you know, none of our news has ever contributed to the suffering or pain of anybody else. And all these huge people have, and they're all green-lighted by NewsGuard. And so that's what this is. That's why this is so dangerous, is because NewsGuard, and I think this is what's going to be pushing the narrative. This is going to be mandated, not just on browsers eventually, but it's going to be like installed on phones and on computers all devices that access the internet. And that's going to be, it's going to act as like this blocker for information that's not deemed acceptable by the establishment. And so we've been coordinating with multiple independent media outlets, from the Mint Press News, the Anna Media, several different other outlets. We actually had a summit in Houston last month to talk about how we're going to fight this, because this is a huge issue right now. Like, I mean, imagine your internet not letting you go to a website like the Free Thought Project or any other website that you wanted to go to, and imagine what that would do in 10 years once people aren't able to have this information anymore and they're only fed the establishment narrative. It would be a nightmare. And we're planning on ways to counter this and to fight it and expose it. And it's kind of working. Like, actually, some of the mainstream media has actually been forced to report on NewsGuard. The Daily Mail actually got a red X. So they came out and got NewsGuard like national or worldwide attention. And And so, because they were pissed that you know that they weren't green lighted. But had they been green lighted, then it would have been fine, you know. But So, I think the only way we win in this is to expose these people before they're able to take that control and before devices ship with NewsGuard in on them, you know. So that's what we're trying to do,
right,
is try to raise awareness for that right now. So when you do see that big red X, you know, that's the enemy. That's the problem. This isn't, you know,
yes,
free flow of information is the only way to fend off tyranny and the lesser ignorance. So,
well, and this is a direct attack on First Amendment, on your constitutional right to free speech. And we've seen many of this, these activities, you know, it seems to be growing, NewsGuard being the last domino, I believe. But we've seen this over the last 2 years, and most especially over the last four, when Google started using this algorithm system. My own site went from several thousands of hits a day up to 20, sometimes 30,000 a day, and with their new algorithm. And everything we put out is always documented and resourced. And it said that if it had to be linked back to the government and, you know, to be credible and all that, I make sure it is. And we got throttled. And many other people reported being throttled too. And if those listening, if you don't know what that means, is it means that redirects away from your site. They won't put you in the rankings. They find all kinds of reasons to drive you down in the pages. So if you show up at all, it's 20 pages back and in your search. Now, I don't use Google anything. I just detest Google. I don't use Internet Explorer. I use Mozilla with Start Page as a search. And so I don't, you know, I don't let them in. I notice that every time they are in my computer for any reason, all kinds of crap gets loaded on the back end of my computer, you know, in my programming and stuff. I have to go clean all that out. And I don't use Gmail. And but it's just this thing has grown into a monster. Now, them doing this I wanted to mention, too, on Facebook here about 6, maybe 7 months ago, they started this rating system on there, and they were rating different posts and, you know, saying, you know, warning, risky, or it was something to that effect, that this was possibly fake news. And instead of people not clicking on it, what happened was they saw this spike in people hitting this, you know, once that warning came out. And actually, it was driving more traffic to those sites than what they had before. So they stopped doing that, because that wasn't working out quite the way they planned. And you talked about this happening on October 11th. On October 9th last year, I had a hit. I got attacked so bad. My computer got hacked so bad that it took me days to recover everything and put it back together. And a lot of my files had disappeared. A lot of things had happened. And that's always concerned me, because nobody could tell me where that came from or why it came or anything else. And of course, I've been out here for years shooting my mouth off. But so I always figure I'm going to get nailed one way or the other. And what I don't understand is, somebody like me, Matt, I'm small potatoes. I have no illusions about that whatsoever. I am, however, persistent. And but why would you mess with me? You know, I mean, I'm nothing in the scheme of things. I'm nothing, you know. And, you know, I never had the draw or pull that the Free Thought Project did. But when they did this to you and they put this warning on your site, what did it do to your revenues for your site?
Well, when Facebook banned us, I mean, we had to lay everybody off. It's just me and co-founder running it right now. We have occasional other people contribute to the site, but all of our employees, our Facebook employees, everybody like that, we all had to cut them, because it shut us down effectively. Like that,
yeah.
Not having a Facebook page, kind of, that's the way we drove traffic to the website. That's how we got the word out and got
right.
People to the website. And so
uh-huh.
it. I mean, it's cut it by 90%, if you want, you know, so.
Yeah, yes.
We do have a, we have a membership, though, and that's like, that's what's keeping us going right now. We're funded by our other free thinkers who want this information to get out there and who like this information, mm-hmm. and so they put it out there. So, I mean, so they donate it to us monthly. And
right.
So yeah, I mean this wasn't just us, you know. This was, we're talking 800
right.
pages here. There's this put tens of thousands of people. This eliminated tens of thousands of jobs. It effectively wiped that information from the face of Facebook and Twitter, and that's scary that with the, you know, with a click of a mouse, these people have the power to silence that information. The good news is that. Although they were effective at removing our all these pages and everything, that they haven't removed the demand for this information. People are actively seeking it out. They're trying to we're trying to move a migration over to a different social media network called Minds.com, and which is censor free. It actually rewards users with cryptocurrency. You can pay you can make money on it. There's no ads. It's not censorable. There's no shadow bans. There's nothing like that. And so that's like, I think, but we're not to that point yet to where there's a critical mass event that's going to cause a migration over there. So like mine is with the founder, Bill Ottman, him and the Overstock.com. Have you ever heard of that website? Like it's kind of like an online eBay or something like that, but.
Yes.
So Bill Ottman and the owner of Overstock.com put together Minds. We actually had Bill on the podcast a couple episodes ago. But this is the way that they're going to fight it. We can't work with inside the parameters of an oligarchy like Facebook or Google. So they're building a newer platform that's going to show that obsolescence of that. But like I said, there's yet to be a critical mass movement to where people mass migrate over there. So we had more followers on just the Free Thought Project Facebook page than that all of Minds has total. So, you know, it's got some growing to go. But that's how we fight this. We build networks outside of their control. You know, there's now social media networks popping up that are functioning on the blockchain, which is, you know, it can't be taken down by the government, or it's very hard to be taken down by the government. And then there's peer-to-peer networks popping up that function like torrent sites. And so it sucks that we have to do this and we can't just operate on the regular internet like everybody else. But I mean, this is the only way we keep the beacon of truth, if you will, flowing and reaching everybody else. So that's the plan right now. And that's, what all of us in like this circle of alternative media, that's the way we're going to start trying to push everything and so we can keep the free flow of information alive.
Oh, wow. Okay, let me ask you this. How do I put this? I tried to post your article to Facebook. And I did it by copying the link and pasting it into, you know, make a post thing. And usually that works just fine. And it took 3 or 4 times to get it to take. It wasn't up there 30 hot seconds and it was gone. And I thought, well, I'll just put it back up there again. So I did. And I thought, go ahead and wipe it out because I can sit here and do this all day. And, but, you know, it just... But here in the last week, after trying to post several of your pieces, they took down 3, maybe 4 posts on my page and sent me a notice that it was violated, and it was risky, and it was this, and it was that, and just arbitrarily removed stuff. And then we had this other purge that just went on. If you had a page, I think it's if you had a group, and like say you had 1,000 people on your page, they were going through, and if 500 of those people hadn't been on your page in the last, you know, let's say 2 weeks, they just arbitrarily removed them. And I thought, what the hell's going on? And I look at it, and people are noticing this, but it's like I'm not seeing the response I would expect, Matt. It's like, oh, there goes Facebook again. Well, excuse me. You know, didn't this send up a flag to you? They were in your account. They were going through your list. And they got rid of people they didn't want there. And you're not alarmed by this? Well, it makes me mad. Oh, okay. You know, it does a little more than make me mad. But this thing and this censorship that's going on, like I say, this is an attack on the First Amendment, on free speech. And we've been seeing this go on now heavy duty for the last year. And I become absolutely
livid. It's deliberate. It's been in the works for a long time. This has been in the works for a very long time. I mean, we put out an article this week about the over the weekend about the Facebook to government pipeline. Like, there are all these different people. It's a revolving door. You know, an industry becomes corrupt whenever congressmen and former government insiders all start going through the revolving door, you know, like Clarence Thomas and Monsanto and the Supreme Court. So Facebook has been doing that for years. There's dozens of people that were inside government, inside the both the Obama administration, the Bush administration, neocons, neoliberals. They're the just like at all different levels of department heads and everything. So Facebook's head of cybersecurity policy, who was also the lead prosecutor for cybercrime at the Department of Justice, and for the Andy was the director for cybersecurity policy at the National Security Council during the Obama administration. This guy, Nathaniel Gleicher, he is an enemy to free speech, and he's the head of Facebook cybersecurity. So when Facebook moved to purge another 100, maybe 1,000 pages, like a couple of or a month ago, and he came out in a statement ominous statement that he put out. It said, some of the pages frequently posted about topics like, now listen to what he's saying, that this is the enemy, like this is what Facebook's worried about and what they're trying to stop. Anti-NATO sentiment. Okay. Like we were just talking about, anti-NATO sentiment, you know.
Okay.
Protest movements. So protest. If you protest, that's a bad thing. If you are anti-war, that's a bad thing. And anti-corruption. And he said that they're constantly working to detect and stop this activity. So if you post anything, the enemy to Facebook, this is a direct quote from the former director of cybersecurity policy, the National Security Council. And that who now works for Facebook making these decisions, he has no problems publicly stating that they're actively censoring people that have anti-NATO sentiment, that want to organize protests, and that are anti-corruption. That if I mean that doesn't really chill down your spine, that's just crazy.
Yeah.
You know? It used to be don't be evil. Now it's like, you know, remember when Google's model used to be evil, but now they don't say that anymore because they've been outed as being evil. But now these people are openly talking about what they're doing like that, and it's scary. Next? If we keep posting this information online, are they going to physically come and take us out? You know, or is that the next move?
Yes.
Once they can't silence us, are they going to come after us like that? And I don't know. I mean, I have children and all these things to consider, and it's a scary notion and thought to have to deal with, but. I mean, if we're not, I mean, that's worst case, you know, and I don't see that actually happening, at least anytime soon. I think that we're just in the information war is at a precipice right now, and this is one of many battles that we're going to have to fight. And I think that, I think that we're doing okay now, even though they're trying to silence us. I think that that just gives us more credibility and adds, you know, wind into our sails.
Exactly.
So hopefully that's the way it keeps moving.
Well, and that's just the whole thing, too, Matt. If what you were saying was not credible, you couldn't have drawn the audience that you did. It only takes one or two times of getting caught with fake information, and it's on the public, between you and the public. And of course, there's always the trolls and the astroturfers, but it only takes one or two times. And the fact that your articles are so spot on. And they make sense, you know, compared to what we hear on the mainstream media, they actually make sense about what's okay. So that's why this or that situation is occurring. And now it makes sense. I don't agree with it, but it does make sense of why it's going the way it is. And but to see this keep happening and escalating, and now this all out, this to me is a declaration of war against the American people. And I think what bothers them is just like Facebook when it was set up, it's for data mining. They're gathering everything they can on you and your political views and what you had for breakfast and the whole nine yards. And they're gathering all this information, but they never thought it would be anything other than basically a dead spot. You know, you'd go there and if you didn't have anything else to do, and it started out that way. But when people realized they could express their political views and they could bring up different topics, express their opinion on it, whether people liked it or they didn't, this thing really took off. And it got away from them. They couldn't control it anymore. So I think what we're seeing is control coming in. And, you know, like I say, the throttling of the net, any sites that don't go along with the government and what they're doing are getting driven down in the rankings. It just, you know, so nobody can get to you. If they do get to you, they're so tired by the time they get there, you know, they're not going to do anything anyway. But it just, I think this whole thing got away from them. I just, like on my cell phone, Matt, I don't allow Google, those Google apps to activate. And my phone works fine, you know, but I use it like a phone. You know what I'm saying? I use it as a phone. I'm not right. Watching YouTube. I'm not doing all of this. A phone is a phone. And, you know, if I wanted to watch TV, I'll come home and watch TV. But so I don't allow any of those apps to activate. And people said, well, your phone isn't going to work. It works fine. I bought it for a specific use, and that's what I do with it. But this idea that we have to be entertained with nonsense all the time. People have got to let go of this. And then they put this political divide in there, the you know, conservatives against the liberals, and the name calling that goes on, and the screaming and the hollering, the hysteria. None of this stuff that they do works unless those of us out here in the public are fighting each other. So when politics wears thin, we bring up religion. And we pit the Christians against the Muslims, and we talk about Christians being killed in this country and Christians being killed in the... We don't talk about all the Muslims we went over there and bombed into oblivion. You know, we don't talk about that was okay because they don't believe in the same God we do. And then when you get into politics, you know, people get beaten up and arrested. It's okay because they didn't like the same politician or political party I do. The one thing that really hit me out in D.C., it just absolutely hit me like a brick. I always suspected it, is there is no division out there. That's one big party, and you weren't invited. And that's just the way that is. All this nonsense about liberals and conservatives and right and left, when they talk about a bipartisan vote, it passed on. What it means is voted no, but three Republicans just surprisingly voted yes, and it passed. It's bipartisan. No, that was a dog and pony show. You just got played. They were going to pass it anyway. And, you know, you see what goes on with this legislation and everything else, direct assaults on the Constitution, on your rights. Like I say, more than anything, the militarization of the police. And this was another group that got hit hard in this purge, wasn't it? Police sites that wanted police accountability or was exposing police brutality.
Yes, we were actually, aside from the Free Thought Project, my partner and the co-founder of the Free Thought Project founded Police the Police, which was it was actually the largest police accountability group on the in the world.
Yes.
And during that purge, they removed that, and that's gone now. So all these viral police videos that where we were, you know, exposing all these cops and like the, I mean, I'm not saying like all cops, right? We're just saying the ones that go up to innocent people, kick in their doors, or kill people,
yes,
you know, they or shoot children or whatever. You know, these are the
dogs,
cops that were.
Yeah.
Yes, or yeah. Yeah, or sick dogs on innocent, on old ladies, and all that's wiped away. we were reaching, you know, we were reaching 20 million people a week on a good week with the police to police, and all of it exposing corruption and showing, you know, holding police accountable in the public forum, because they certainly weren't being held accountable in their own department. So we would put them, you know, on blast in that way. And so that's the other thing that they which is probably a topic for a whole nother
yes.
Show. But,
yes.
That's there's a whole front of attack on police accountability groups, and now it's like we actually post solutions to these problems. You know, there's not that wiping us out didn't stop people from reporting on bad cops, but no one poses any solutions to the problem of police brutality and why all these no-knock raids and everything are happening, which is the drug war.
Yeah.
And I mean, when you talk about ending the drug war, you're an enemy to the establishment, because they need this war, like just like they need the wars to go over the seas. They need this drug war for revenue. They need the drug war to increase the militarization and keep the money flowing to the police departments to get their new anti-tank vehicles or MRAPs. And, you know, there's no narrative out there anymore.
You know, and that's another part of this, too. When you look at all of this and this ramping up, I've brought this up on other shows. It's law enforcement. It's not peace officers anymore. There's not a law enforcement vehicle in this country that any longer bears the words to protect and serve. And then the Supreme Court came out with a ruling here, I think 2 years ago, and said that the police are under no obligation, except in limited circumstances, to protect you, especially when you're in custody. They have no obligation to do that. And then they gave them qualified immunity, along with prosecutors and judges. Well, go back to your Constitution. It says in the 14th Amendment that the laws will be applied equally to everyone. It doesn't say unless you're wearing a pretty long black dress and you've got a hammer in your hand. It doesn't say that. Or if you're wearing a costume with a badge on it, it doesn't say you don't. And it doesn't mean that a prosecutor should be able to get up and lie in court and fabricate evidence and statements and everything else to prosecute someone who may be innocent and most likely is. They can't be held accountable for that. We should have stood up and screamed right then. And Matt, I would just want your opinion on something that's been rolling around in my head like many things do. The Supreme Court of the United States is incorporated, and it's listed on Dun & Bradstreet, issues its own credit score. I want to know who they're making money with, because the only fiduciary duty of a corporation is to make money, to make a profit. So who are the shareholders in this corporation? And the other thing is, they also declared themselves to be their own bar association. And the bar association has monopolized judicial system, which is why they grind their teeth and spit fire when a pro se litigant comes in. But they declared themselves the own bar. Now, in my thinking, once they did those two things, they ceased to be a legitimate branch of government. They're no longer constitutional, and they're no longer representative of the law or the interest of the public. Do you think that's too extreme a position to take on that?
Well, I think that any time you grant a monopoly of over any type of service, like dispute resolution, you know, like which is essentially what the what the court systems are due, that's they'll ultimately become beholden to only themselves. You know, they're not going to be they're not going to serve the interests of the people anymore. And I mean, the government does not serve the interests of the people anymore, and no matter which branch it is. And I mean, on certain different things, there's, you know, there's things where people get help and all this, but it's not overall, it serves the interest of itself and its contributors. And that's like that spans out through all three branches of government. And so, I mean, they're all the same now. It's all executive anyway. You know, it's all executive power now.
Yes.
And we don't need Congress's approval to start wars. We can start wars with tweets and overthrow countries with tweets now. And that's that's the state of things. it's pretty crazy.
Matt, with Twitter, and I have a Twitter account, I don't pay any attention to it. Someone at one point wanted to post an article to my site, and I said, yeah, I'd put it up, and they made the remark to me, and I'll make it go viral. Well, okay. And so by the next day, there were like 1,100 tweets. Yippee. I went back in my administrative pages, and out of those 1,100 tweets, that article had been hit less than 150 times. So my response to this person was, just because people hit, anybody read this, or gives a damn what you said. So what was the point? What was the point in all this Twitter activity? Well, it got it out there. I said it got it out there to people who weren't remotely interested. So I don't understand the purpose of Twitter. I have tried and tried. I look at this thing and think, this is just stupid. I don't get it. I don't get it. You know? So these things show up on that feed, that Twitter feed,
it's an outlet for information if you like keeping everything under a certain amount of characters, you know.
There's
some good stuff about Twitter, but it's just like Facebook in the way that they censor things and in that regard, you know. It's terrible. Jack Dorsey was just on Joe Rogan last week, and Jack Dorsey's the owner of Twitter and the founder, and he talked about how they actually didn't even talk about the censorship, you know. Jack Dorsey's he undoubtedly had a hand in removing our page, you know, our pages from the platform. So there's definitely some good to Twitter, because you can spread information and you know, with people's short ass attention spans these days, a little tweet can do a lot. So you can say put a pretty powerful statement, and those who want to seek more information will, you know. But that's why it's if it wasn't such a powerful platform to spread information, then they wouldn't be worried about censoring us on it. So I think that there is some good with it. I mean, most of it's like it's a bunch of just rants and just vitriol and hatred and I love Trump. I hate Trump. I love Trump. I hate Trump. You know, so that's what it is these days. So it's if you can sit through that BS, you know, you can find the rest of it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing that Trump thing. This could not have been any worse unless Clinton had got in there, and they couldn't figure out why that woman didn't get it. Wasn't this landslide election, Hillary Clinton? That was somebody at the top there had a disconnect. That is one of the most reviled and hated women in this country. And you thought the public was going to put her in? I've watched these elections, the last five or six presidential cycles, and what I saw on the Republican side, which was epitomized here with the election of Trump, was the biggest lineup of buffoons and clowns and idiots I have ever seen, with the exception maybe of Rand Paul, and I think he's just not as strong as he needs to be. But
not like his dad.
You saw that. Not like his dad. And I'm looking at this lineup, and I'm thinking, for God's sake, this is the best the Republican Party has. And, you know, the only reason, in my estimation, that Trump got elected was because who was running against him? And that people and they were terrified of her, and I think rightfully so. The difference between the current presidency and what it would have been under her is we'd have, in my opinion, been in full-blown World War III had she gotten in. And
I agree.
And she had stated at one time she intended to start World War III. And I'll go back to that defense contractors event that she hosted, and telling them if they wanted to make money, then was the time to get on the ground floor and get their contracts in. And then she was talking in July of that same year at the UN. And she was talking about gun control, and which I'm a staunch Second Amendment supporter. And she said, children don't feel safe in their neighborhoods. And it's because people have guns. And so we've got to end this insanity with these guns so children feel safe. So I wrote her a letter. And I said, Mrs. Clinton, how safe do you think those kids felt in Iraq when we were dropping bombs on them? I said, what about them? They don't count? And I said, there have been other situations where we have viciously attacked a foreign country, and you were up there rah-rahing and cheering it on. And what about the children there? They don't deserve safety? They don't deserve to feel safe? And I said, what about them? Of course, I never heard back from her. I don't know why. I wrote a very nice letter. And this duplicity, how dare you speak about the safety of children when you've caused more grief for children or been a part of, you know, terrorizing children as part of your career. I just can't hook on to that. But
she would have a necessity in her line of work.
Yeah. There you go. And dead bodies, they seem to pile up rather rapidly. And people into it, like you say, I hate Trump. I love Trump. I hate Trump. I love Trump. The fact is, the man is the president of the United States. And but here, he had been in office, Matt, maybe 3-4 months. And I called a friend of mine out in D.C. I said, we're in trouble. And she said, why? I said, Death Vader, which is what we call Dick Cheney. I said, Death Vader just landed in D.C. And I said, he's going to be there 2 or 3 days. And she said, what do you think it means? I said, I think it means when he leaves, Trump's going to do a 360 on a whole lot of things. Because he's going to get the law laid down onto him. And I said, and his family's going to be threatened, and he's going to be threatened, and he's going to change on a lot of things. And he did. And anytime Death Vader shows up, it's bad news. And you look at these people, and I keep telling people, no matter who's sitting in that office, they're not running anything. They are not running anything. The people behind the scenes are running it. And in Trump's case, and correct me if you think I'm wrong, and I want you to, Pence is the one they wanted in there, and that man's dangerous. He always reminds me of a big snake standing in the background, his eyes just glaring at Trump like, I can't wait to sit in that chair. He could never get elected on his own, so they tagged him like they did Cheney to doofus, and that's actually who's working behind the scenes and making everything go the way they want it to go. I think the man is dangerous, but he's the handler. Trump's biggest problem was he came into office thinking he was going to run everything, and he found out in short order he wasn't running nothing. And what do you think?
Oh, I agree with that. That Trump is, or Pence is Trump's Cheney, and
yeah.
I mean, Trump was – some of the stuff that Donald Trump ran on was awesome. He wanted to get out of Afghanistan.
Yeah.
He wanted to get out of Syria. He wanted to bring all the troops home from everywhere. He wanted to expose Saudi Arabia's role in 9/11. He wanted to he wanted to audit the Federal Reserve. You know, everything that he was saying was so awesome, and he hasn't done any of that. And And he's done quite the opposite. You know, he met with, like, whenever he started talking about this, that's when, like, Henry Kissinger and all these people started to meet with him after he got elected. And we quickly saw what that happened. You know, he drone strikes went up. In his first, like, 7 months in office, he dropped more drones in Yemen and in Afghanistan than Obama did in 8 years. And that this was what he was completely against. So the deep state is there. Yeah. Donald Trump knows it, but it's not the kind of deep state that he's talking about. Like, his deep state he's talking about is a distraction. The real deep state is are the ones that are launching these missiles into Syria and threatening war when the president's openly trying to bring people out. You know, Trump tweeted this. Well, I would love to see the faces of all these neocon warmongers when Trump put that tweet out that we're going to pull troops out of Syria. You know, like they were probably making phone calls like, you get your dog on a leash, you know, like, so, I mean, I'm sure it was something just like that went down.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, he keeps trying to challenge them, but I mean, they just keep putting him back in his place. And that doesn't make me a Trump supporter. Like, a lot of the things that he does are incredibly like anti-freedom, and when he said, take the gun first, due process second. You know, Dianne Feinstein was likely drooling in that same room when he said that. You know, I was like, oh yes, yes.
She probably bubbled up and slid off the chair. Yeah.
I know.
And I'm sick to death. I don't know about you, of these people that nest up in government and you just can't get rid of them. And I am firmly behind term limits. I don't think anybody should be able to serve more than two terms, and even in most cases, one is too much. And but this, you know, I see a lot of people saying, you know, we need to return to the Constitution, and I would love to see that, but they have rendered the Constitution virtually void. And, you know, Matt, I raised a couple of my grandkids, and in my one granddaughter's junior year of high school, she came home, she was 4.0 student, because basically the classes were on a sixth grade level, nonsensical for most of them anyway, but I mean, still a very bright girl. But she came home and she said, today we talked about the Constitution for a whole hour. I said, the whole hour? Imagine that. And she said, and we talked about it here at home all the time. She said, yeah, and she said, you're going to be upset. And she pulled this paper out. She said, I got a detention. I said, you, for what? And she said, at the end of the class, the teacher said, the Constitution of the United States was our founding document, but it was an old, archaic document, and it really didn't have any relevance anymore. And she said, I stood up and said, don't ever tell my grandma that. She said, she will take your head off. And
wow.
So they gave her a detention. So I, of course, jumped in my car, Matt, and drove right straight to the school and got the principal, said, you know, is this civics teacher still? Yeah. Yeah. I said, get her down here. And she came down, Matt, and she's talking to me in this sing-songy, condescending voice. And she said, we would appreciate it if you limited your conversations at home when you're speaking with the children, because it makes it difficult for us. I said, shut up. And she kind of looked at me. I said, don't you ever tell my granddaughter again that the Constitution of the United States is an old, archaic document and has no relevance. I said, I will personally take your tongue out of your mouth. And I said, and she's not doing any detention either. And she said, well, I must insist. I said, you're not in a position to insist anything. And I said, I'm telling you, if you're ever going to say this or anything like it again, you remove her from the room. And I said, I don't want her hearing this stuff. I said, you just basically spoke treason. And I said, I'm not going to have
exactly.
It. And, you know, she just, and everybody standing, she turned to the principal. She said, she threatened me. I said, no, I didn't threaten you. I was just prognosticating the future events if you didn't keep your trap shut. And I said, now, have I made myself clear? She said, and I said, if I have to go to the district office, I will. Don't you ever tell my granddaughter anything like that again. But I had seen this creeping into this education thing of they would ask them loaded questions, Matt, like, this is something to be desired. Do you think that global citizenship will be possible in your lifetime? No, don't want it. I'm already a citizen of the globe. I'm here. you know what I'm saying? And what they're doing to the kids, you have to watch this education thing. Because they are literally brainwashing these kids into this new world order thing. And it's happening right in front of us. People, you know, oh, it's a conspiracy theory. Okay. There is a conspiracy here, but it's far more than a theory. And you, as you talked about the deep state, the people who actually run things, what their agenda is. And we're coming down to the finish line, I believe, this censorship, the taking down of your site and so many others that were quite popular with the public. This had to have scared them to death, Matt, to see this kind of activity and attention paid to your pages. And I think the message they got was, we ain't buying the crap you're putting on MSM, and we need something real, and it's over here. And that's why you're gone. That's why they had to get rid of you.
Exactly. We challenge the narrative, and you challenge the narrative, and that's what happens when you challenge the narrative, you know. Yeah.
And then, okay, so now we've got about 10 minutes left here, Matt. They can go to the Free Thought Project, and why I have difficulty saying that, I do not know. But you can still get you on the web, right?
Yes, yes. The freethoughtproject.com is the website, and you can go there. We're still, even though they keep banning us on Facebook, we keep building pages on there on Facebook as well. I mean, like I said earlier, there's so many people that there's still people out there to reach, and so I don't want to abandon those people and not try to inject our information over there too. So we're doing that,
right.
You know. And you can find us on minds.com, and you can follow Matt Agarist at Twitter and Jason Bassler at Twitter. Matt Agarist was the pen name I used for years.
Yes.
In this, and now, yeah. And our podcast, you know, you can find the Free Thought Project podcast on iTunes and Spotify and any of your podcast players that you like. We're all on there, and check us out there. We need help in this information war. Without people to spread the information, we're just yelling to a wall, you know. So
yes,
we're,
exactly. Okay.
We could, we're all in it together. Yes.
Yeah. From someone, and they're asking if you've ever, because of your writing and your exposure of many of these topics, have you ever been, hang on, let me see how this is worded here. They want to know, like, have the police ever come to your home? Have you ever been threatened?
The police threaten us all the time. They've never come to my home, which is why it was Matt Agarist as my pen name all these years, you know.
Yeah.
We've had to get attorneys involved because we've put out some information that was entirely legal, but they didn't want it out there. And the sheriff's departments or police stations, some of them had threatened us with, you know, I mean, there's nothing that they can actually charge us with or anything like that, but they threatened to sue us or other kind of legal talk to try to silence us. And mm-hmm. We actually got the ACLU involved, and they backed down really quick. They didn't want that going public that they did that, because I was like, you clearly don't know that we are not going to be silenced or threatened in any corner. So,
But the ACLU did come in because
yes,
I had
contacts at the ACLU from some of the stories that we had covered, and I just reached out to them, and they put me in touch with the ACLU in California where this particular department was threatening us from. And they settled everything. We didn't have to remove anything. These people told us, they demanded we take down this story. And you're crazy. You know what's going to happen if this goes to public, you know, if this goes public, that you forced us to take a story down because it showed one of your police officers in a negative light. I'm like, sorry, but we're not doing that. And and they persisted, and so that's when the ACLU stepped in, and they quickly shut up. They didn't want the ACLU to blast it out on their network, you know. That would have been a black eye for the department.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It,
but
quickly,
luckily, no, they've never come to my house, thank God.
No, yeah. I watch, too, though. I know you're like me. You're cautious. You watch. And because, like I say, with me, I'm such small potatoes, you know, in comparison. But still, I've had my feathers ruffled more than once over these last 10, 12 years, and had death threats left on my phone. I mean, it's just like, come on, really?
Oh, that's a constant. And, you know, we have that's constantly. Those never stop. You know, like they have people, you know, they threaten to come to our house and hurt our children, and they do this on Facebook, and Facebook doesn't do anything to them. You know, this guy threatened us. He took, like, somehow he found out where we live. He took pictures of our Google Maps and posted them in the messages saying he was going to come and kill our children and all this. And we reported them to the police and to Facebook. And Facebook didn't – they said that we should have just tried to resolve that between the two of us. He didn't violate any of their terms. Like, this dude is directly threatening to kill us, you know. I'm like, he comes to my house, he's going to have a bad time. But I got it's Fort Knox over here. I like you. I like the Second Amendment, so –
you come bother me here, I'll send you out of here riding a lightning bolt out of a .38. So, you know, that's just the way that is. I will not be terrorized in my own home. And, you know, and the thing is, we have no privacy anymore. We have no rights that I can see that will are substantial, you know what I mean, that can be used. And the people that violate them have immunity. And now we are removing information that we don't want you to have, because then you won't think what we want you to think. And I don't know, Matt. I don't know how this is all going to end up, but I see more and more people coming out and starting their own blog, starting their own radio show, starting this and that, and talking. More people are talking. And I think that's a good thing. The people who get into that, I hate Trump, I love Trump, I hate Trump, I love Trump, I stay away from those people. You can't talk to them anyway. They already lost their mind. And, you know, and I'm not going to get into that. I'm not going to be sidetracked by that. And but I will say this, I think there was one statement he made in the third debate that I think actually won that election for him. And she had said something about, if I were president, this or something would happen. But if he was president, he said, if I was president, you'd be in jail. And the second thing he said was, when she was talking about free and open borders, he said, a country without borders is not a country. And he said, you have no country. And I think those two things was what swung it for him, is what people wanted to hear. And of course, she's still not in jail, and the border's still sitting wide open. So there you are. what the hell do I know besides absolutely nothing? Matt, thank you so much for coming on with me today. It was an honor to have you on, and we will be promoting the Free Thought Project, and I'll get you hooked up on my site and get a direct link up there too. And I appreciate everything that you do and the articles you put out, because they are relevant, and they do make sense. They make sense of things. You may not like what you wrote because it'll upset you when you see what's really going on, but you can depend on what you're reading. Matt, again, thank you. I truly appreciate this. One last time, give out your website and contact information if anybody wants to contact you.
Well, thank you very much for having me on too, Marty. It was a pleasure. It was my pleasure to talk to you. It was really cool. Great discussion. And yeah, if anybody wants to get a hold of us, you can go to the website, thefreethoughtproject.com. There's podcast links up there. There's our contact information is all up there. And you know, if you need any help exposing any corruption in your town, get some evidence, and we'll put it out there, and we'll get these guys one corrupt police department and government official at a time, and
there you go.
So,
well, the thing is, as ominous as this.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No. I was going to say, as much corruption as there is about this, this is an endless market. You know, I mean, it just, you would never run out of material. Anyway, go ahead, Matt.
Exactly. And as ominous as this whole conversation was with the government surveillance and censorship and all that, I always like to, you know, to point out that that right now, as bad as everything may seem, you know, we're at the most peaceful time in human history, and there's less death and violence than ever before. And, you know, there's always people that are going to be trying to limit what you can and can't say. And this fight is a never ending battle. And this is just how it's materialized in the 21st century. So there's been people have been fighting this fight for centuries. And it started like it. A major battle was won with the printing press, and then a second major battle was won with the internet, and then a third major battle is going on right now with social media. And like Ron Paul used to say, no army can stop an idea whose time has come. And I think that the idea of freedom and liberty and peace for everybody is here, and it's catching on, and they're just trying to put it out, and they're doing a bad job at it.
They are. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today, and especially since we're not at our regular time, but we had a full call board, so that tells me we had a good-sized audience. And we'll be back again next Thursday night with another edition of Whistleblowers, and I want to thank the Whistleblower Summit in Washington, D.C. We coordinate these shows with Marcel Reed, one of the summit organizers, and we will be there again this year talking guardianship abuse and the theft of estates and the culling of the elderly. And God bless hospice. They killed more people so far this year than died all of last year. But anyway, thanks everybody for tuning in. Matt, thank you, and we'll see y'all next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mario.